Please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 21. Our scripture text this morning is found in verses 12 through 21 of Genesis 21. And the title of the message today is Hagar and Ishmael Cast Out. Hagar and Ishmael Cast Out. And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, in all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed, and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and lift up her voice, and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. God promised Abraham and Sarah a child. Years passed, and no child came. Sarah took matters into her own hands and told Abraham to have a child by Sarah's Egyptian bondservant, whose name was Hagar. The result of this fleshly union of Abraham and Hagar was a son whose name was Ishmael. Ishmael's birth had come because of a temporary lapse of faith in both Abraham and Sarah. 13 years after the birth of Ishmael, God kept his promise and gave Abraham and Sarah a son. His name was Isaac. At the celebration feast Abraham held on the occasion of the weaning of Isaac, Sarah saw Ishmael mocking Isaac. Sarah saw the conflict and realized that there could never be peace in her family as long as Ishmael was present. So in Genesis 21:10, Sarah told Abraham that Hagar and Ishmael had to go. They had to be separated from Abraham's household. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. This was a grievous thing to Abraham, to have to send away his son Ishmael, whom he greatly loved. Verse 11 of this 21st chapter of Genesis says, And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. So this is the background for today's text that speaks of Hagar and Ishmael being cast out of Abraham's household. By comparing Genesis 16:16 with Genesis 21:5, we learn that at the time of our text, Ishmael was about 16 to 18 years of age. Many times, young people, what we call young people today or teenagers today, were called children in the Bible. But we, by comparing these scriptures, we know he was between 16 and 18. In this message, we're going to consider three aspects of the story of Hagar and Ishmael being cast out. First, we read in verses 12 through 16 how Abraham expelled Hagar and Ishmael. In verse 12, God gave instructions to Abraham. And God said unto Abraham, "Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice." God was behind this direction of Sarah, by Sarah, to remove Hagar and Ishmael from the household. God spoke to Abraham here and told him that he was to do as Sarah wanted, even though it was against Abraham's personal feelings. God commanded Abraham to send Hagar and Ishmael away. In doing so, God spoke of Isaac at the end of verse 12 here. Look at verse 12. "And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called." The covenant God had so often established with Abraham should be established with Isaac and not with Ishmael. Look at Genesis 17, 19 through 21 here. Genesis 17, 19 through 21. And God said, that is to Abraham, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year." So Ishmael was not the promised son, nor was he the promised heir of Abraham. Ishmael was not a child of the covenant. Yes, he was Abraham's son, but he was not a child of the covenant. Mere natural descent never makes one a child of the covenant or a covenant child. Now, there are some denominations today that make much of people being covenant children or a child of the covenant. Even being a member of the immediate family of Abraham did not make Ishmael a covenant child of God. That's very important to some theologies that are abroad today. This destroys today's so-called covenant theology, which says that the children of covenant parents are in the covenant and therefore they should be baptized. Do you know there are denominations that believe that? Major denominations. I believe that's one of the reasons for the disappearance of the Puritans in American history. They had the covenant, the halfway covenant. If you were a child of a covenant parent, then you were baptized and you were in. "For in Isaac shall thy seed be called," God said in verse 12 of our text. Isaac and those descended from him would be called the seed of Abraham. Thy seed here means the promised seed, the heir of your estate, the heir of your covenant, the heir of the promises, especially the progenitor of the Messiah. It was from Abraham through Isaac that all nations of the earth would be blessed, not through Ishmael, but through Isaac. Only Isaac was God's chosen instrument to bring the nation of Israel into existence and finally to bring the Savior into the world. It was from Abraham through Isaac that Messiah would come. Christ must descend from Abraham through Isaac, the promised son. The promised son must be the father of the promised seed. Christ is the seed. This is why Christ is called in Matthew 1:1 and Galatians 3:16 the son of Abraham. Matthew 1:1 says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Christ came from Abraham through Isaac. Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. God had never intended Ishmael to share in the covenant promises. Ishmael was a stranger to the covenants of promise, to borrow the words of Paul in Ephesians 2:12. A separation in the family was necessary so that all of this might be made clear. It was necessary to cast out Ishmael so that Isaac could be established as the heir and thus receive the rights and privileges of the covenant God had made with Abraham. This is an important milestone in connection with the history of God's chosen people, because it was not in Ishmael, but in Isaac that Abraham's seed would be called. In verse 13 here, God announced Ishmael's future. He didn't leave Ishmael out. He announced his future here. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. Now, God did not abandon Ishmael and leave him nothing at all. Instead, Ishmael would live on and become a nation of people. God promised, he had promised both Hagar, his mother, and Abraham, his father, that Ishmael would be blessed. Look at Genesis 17:20. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. God assured Abraham that he would take care of Ishmael. And thus, Abraham didn't need to fear that Hagar and Ishmael would die when they were cast out. And God said to Abraham here that he would do this for Ishmael, quote, because he is thy seed, unquote, or thy son, because he is your descendant. This direction of Sarah in verse 11 of this chapter was very grievous to Abraham, but God assured Abraham that Ishmael would become a great nation, even though the spiritual line would be through Isaac. God promised here to make a great nation of Ishmael. Here, God renewed the promise he had made in Genesis 17:20, which we've just read. God has kept this promise. As we read God's word, we find that the Arabs are the descendants of Ishmael. Muhammad himself claimed descent from Ishmael, according to Unger's Bible Dictionary. Today, there are nearly 400 million Arabs on this earth, mostly in Africa and the Middle East, but increasingly in Western Europe and the U.S. This promise concerning Ishmael, that he would be blessed and that he would be the father of a great nation, was given for Abraham's comfort. Now, one reason Hagar and Ishmael should be cast out was so that neither Ishmael nor his offspring would inherit the land of Canaan with Isaac or his descendants. Abraham's seed in Isaac's line would inherit the land of Canaan, which was given by God to him and his seed for an inheritance forever. Who owns the land of Israel? The scripture says it was promised to Isaac and his seed in the covenant with Abraham. But today, Ishmael's seed, that is the Arabs, are trying to take the land away from Isaac's seed, the Jews. God assured Abraham that it was safe to cast out Ishmael. This would be no threat to the covenant promises. In verse 14 of our text, we read how Abraham sent Hagar and Ishmael away. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When God told Abraham his will in this matter, Abraham did not object. You know, a godly man desires no more in doubtful cases than to know what God's will is. And then he can relax and act. Abraham had great love and concern for Hagar and Ishmael, but Abraham obeyed God's revealed will. When God said, "You do what Sarah says," Abraham obeyed. When he knew that this was God's will, he obeyed immediately. He started early in the morning after God had spoken to him in the night visions. I wonder, do we obey God like this? It takes some people many years to decide that it's God's will for them to tithe. God told Abraham to do something and he did it immediately. Do we obey God like this? God has told us in Acts 2:38 to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Do we obey God in this matter? And we could just fill in the blank with any number of things God commands us to do. This same 14th verse says, Abraham gave Hagar food and water and then sent them away. Now, I was struck by this as I was reading this passage this week. Abraham sent Hagar and Ishmael away, but he didn't give them any servants. He sent them on foot, and he gave them very little provision, very little food. Everything she had, she carried on her shoulder. Why did Abraham, if he loved them, as the scripture says that he did, why did he send them away with so little provision? I believe there are three possible reasons here. Maybe a combination of some or all of these. First of all, Abraham sent them away with little provision like this because God may have commanded this in order to tame the haughty spirit of Hagar. We'll talk more about this in a moment. But maybe that's the reason. Or a second reason. God may have done this to prepare Hagar and Ishmael for receiving His help and mercy. You know, when we come to the end of ourselves, that's when we call on God for help, isn't it? Or number three, Abraham may have, and I believe this may be the main reason here, Abraham may have told Hagar to go to a certain place where he would send more supplies later on. Abraham obeyed God and cast out Hagar and Ishmael. Secondly, we shall consider in this message how God rescued Ishmael and Hagar. First of all here, let us consider in verses 15 and 16 the plight of Hagar and Ishmael as a result of their being cast out. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him, or across from him, a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For, she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over across from him, or over against him, and lift up her voice and wept. Verse 14 says that Hagar and Ishmael wandered around in the wilderness of Beersheba. They evidently lost their way. Wherever they were going, they evidently lost their way and they wandered for some time. Verse 15 then tells us that their water ran out. And Ishmael must have experienced heat exhaustion. And then verse 15 says that Hagar put Ishmael under a shrub. And verse 16 says she separated herself from Ishmael about the distance of a bow shot so that she wouldn't have to see him die. Now, I don't know how far a bow shot is. It's according to who's shooting the bow, who's shooting the arrow. But a bow shot was about as far as an arrow could be shot. You know, at least 100 yards, I would say. Hagar went off from Ishmael, lifted up her voice to God, and wept. So Hagar was now in great distress. Where was her pride and her jealousy and her anger now that she had had after Ishmael's birth? Where was it? It was gone, wasn't it? Hagar gave up, thinking there was no hope. Even though God had told her before Ishmael had been born that he would live to be a man and that a great nation would come from him. Now we mustn't condemn Hagar because we tend also to forget God's promises when present providences seem to be overwhelming, don't we? We don't remember a promise in the Word when times get tough many times. When this happens, it is because we are living by sense rather than living by faith. This was God's purpose all along, that they, like Abraham, might learn to trust in Him. God brought Hagar and Ishmael to the point where they could no longer go in their own strength and they would have to depend on Him. He brought them to that place. I wonder if God's ever brought you to that place. Has God ever brought you to that place in salvation? Has He brought you to see that you are a sinner, you can no longer go in your own strength, without strength, to use the words of Romans, to accomplish your own salvation? Has He ever brought you to look away from yourself and your doing and away to Jesus Christ and His perfect life and substitutionary death on the cross as your only hope? Has He ever brought you there? Has God ever brought you to that point in your everyday life that you realize your utter helplessness to live life and to even survive without God's help and strength and provision? If He hasn't brought you there and you are a child of His, He will bring you there. You must come to that place. It was at this point that God spoke to Hagar in verses 17 and 18. Look at those verses. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." He's repeating that promise that she had forgotten there. Now, the angel of God here spoke to Hagar out of heaven. I assume, and I believe with scriptural backing, that the angel of God here was very probably the pre-incarnate Christ. For the second time in her life, God appeared to Hagar and spoke with her. The angel told Hagar that God was aware of their distress. God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. By the way, here is instruction for young people. God saw the lad. He saw him there under the shrub in the desert. Young person here today, God sees you. Wherever you are, His eye is always on you. Ishmael called out And God heard him. God heard Ishmael's cries even out there in that vast and desolate wilderness. God heard the voice of the lad, and he will hear you when you call on him through Jesus Christ. Have you done that? In verse 18 here, God renewed his promise to Hagar concerning her son. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. It is God who makes the nations. You know, God made the United States of America. God makes the nations. He founds them. He locates them geographically. He establishes them. And he brings them to an end in judgment when they reach his limits of iniquity. And then verse 19 tells us that God relieved the suffering of Hagar and Ishmael. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. God opened Hagar's eyes so that she could see a well that was nearby, and she was able to draw water from that well and give Ishmael a drink. You know, this reminds us of how God can give us spiritual refreshing when we need it by opening our eyes to certain spiritual realities. God makes streams to flow in the desert. And the river of life is not far from us. The Lord Jesus says to thirsty sinners, "Come unto me and drink." Back in Genesis 17, 18, Abraham had interceded for Ishmael. Again, we see Abraham the intercessor. He had interceded for Ishmael. "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee," he had prayed. And now God in his mercy answered Abraham's prayer and revealed a well of water to Hagar, and they lived. God answered Abraham's prayer for Ishmael and took care of him and his mother. Finally, in verses 20 and 21, we're told how Ishmael survived and grew. God took care of Ishmael. The first part of verse 20 says that God was with Ishmael. And God was with the lad, the scripture says. This same verse tells us that Ishmael lived in the desert and became an archer. Look at verse 20. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Verse 14 says that Hagar and Ishmael wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Beersheba was located in the far southern part of the land of Canaan. It was and still is a desert country. By the time spoken of in verse 21, Hagar and Ishmael had moved farther south to the wilderness of Paran. This was a much worse desert, and it was located in what today we call the Sinai Peninsula. The wilderness of Paran was a wild place, fit for a wild man like Ishmael became. Ishmael grew up in this desert. In making spiritual application of this, Matthew Henry said, "Those that are born after the flesh take up with the wilderness of this world, while the children of promise aim at the heavenly Canaan and cannot rest until they are there." I wish I could speak like those Puritans did, like Matthew Henry did. This same 20th verse tells us that Ishmael supported himself and his mother by becoming an archer. Archers used bows for hunting game. But the bow was also a main weapon of war. In Old Testament times, hunting and war often went together. I think about Nimrod, who was a mighty hunter. He was also a warrior. God had already prophesied in Genesis 16, 11, and 12 that Ishmael would become a warrior. Let's read that. Genesis 16, 11, and 12. Hagar is the subject here. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he, that is Ishmael, will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. My friends, the Arabs today, who are the descendants of Ishmael, are indeed quarrelsome, warlike, fierce, brutal, and against every nation. They're against us. I mean, our smart politicians can't even figure that out. But they're against us. They're against every man. And this has always been true, and it's still true today. As we look at the Islamic nations and the terror groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS and Hamas, according to God's Word, there will always be animosity between Isaac's seed and Ishmael's seed, both physically and spiritually, and between all other seeds and Ishmael's seed. Verse 21 says that Ishmael married an Egyptian woman, and he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Ishmael's mother evidently arranged a marriage for him from among her own Egyptian people. I sure don't like arranged marriages. Do you? What an awful thing to have someone tell you who you will marry. Ishmael's mother evidently had an arranged marriage for him. She took him a wife out of the land of Egypt, the Scripture says. In the Scriptures, you may remember, Egypt is a type of the world. Always the direction in God's Word is down to Egypt, and up to Canaan, and up to Jerusalem. Ishmael was the child of the flesh, and true to this, he took him a wife of the world. Young people, don't you go to Egypt for a wife or a husband. Don't do it. Don't even date unsaved boys or unsaved girls. There is nothing but grief and tragedy ahead for those who do. I've been in the ministry nearly 55 years, and I've seen it over and over again. The wreckage that comes when a Christian young person marries an unsaved young person. Ishmael's marriage to this Egyptian woman was the beginning of the Arab nations on this earth. Ultimately, Ishmael had 12 sons, or princes as they're called later in Genesis, and God began through them to make of Ishmael a great nation as he had promised. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you today for this story of Hagar and Ishmael and Abraham and Sarah. We pray that we might learn the spiritual lessons that you have for us in this message today, including the one about marrying Christians instead of those of the world, including the lessons of trusting in your promises and remembering your promises when the chips are down and the going is rough, and all the other many things. Help us to realize that this world is not out of control, that people and nations are acting just as you said way back there 4,000 years ago in the book of Genesis, that they would. Father, we pray that most of all today you would help us to look to Christ as the Savior from our sins. We pray for those that are here today that have never publicly professed Him and followed Christ in baptism. May this be the day that by the working of your Spirit, they come to Christ and trust in Him. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.